T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Now, with the MLB app, you can get baseball your way. Pick your favorite team, your favorite players, and get customized highlights, stories, and breaking news right on your home feed. Follow the action with Game Day, where 3D replays add another dimension. Plus, notifications can keep you connected to every pitch, every hit, every game. The MLB app. Baseball, your way. Download it now for free from the App Store or Google Play. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, our upset pick segment for the week will be in the very next segment coming up at 4:20. Want to hear what Lonzo's taking? I will give you my upset pick of the week. I will be jotting all of yours down so I can tabulate the official standings. Remember, we made a change last week. You now get a minus one when you are wrong. So 1 point is deducted from your score each and every week that you have an incorrect pick. Lonzo just felt very strong. Lonzo believes in punishing people. I don't know what kind of masochistic history he has.
Needs to be
here.
Called the Lonzo Rule. I'm down with that. Even though I'm suffering from the Lonzo Rule, that's fine.
Well, you continue to suffer because you're at, negative points now for
just
the year.
Negative one.
Yeah,
only negative one.
You're in the negative, brother. All right, joining us right now, one of our favorite segments of the week, one of your favorite segments of the week. He is the host of the Late Kick Show on YouTube, as well as the Late Kick podcast at Late Kick Josh on Twitter. I always see you guys writing Josh and letting him know how much you appreciate him doing this and how much you enjoy the segment. I appreciate that because I really want to keep having him on. He joins us right now on the show. How you doing, my man? What's good?
I'm really good. I got a couple questions for you, but first, I just want to describe the situation. Now that we've adjusted the schedule for this week, I have had the gym that I work at or out at here in Nashville cordon off an entire fitness room, and so here I am alone in the fitness room. You probably hear the echo, and I'm bouncing up and down on a medicine ball, as you do, and I'm ready to talk some sports, and I'm also ready to ask you, Marcus, how are you feeling today?
Dude, let me tell you, Josh, I appreciate you asking. I've never had food poisoning in my life. Never. All I can tell you, man, is you feel like you're dying. You know, like it just hits you out of nowhere. Off the air, Josh, I'll tell you what I had and what where I went and what I did. But I'm curious, like, Josh, the second half of the show on Wednesday, I wasn't doing my best. Is what I do every time I'm not feeling my best, I take a hot shower. I get out of the hot shower, my body temp never came down from the hot shower. I'm like, man, this isn't normal. And then, man, you just start to have all the gastrointestinal stuff you can't eat. The biggest concern is that you can't, keep electrolytes and you can't keep anything down, right? I mean, that's basically the gist of it. But anyway, man, you ever gone through that at all?
Oh, yeah, I did. I've been through food poisoning. In fact, I, let's see, it's between lunch and dinner time. So when I throw up, it's very violent. And I ripped my vocal cords. I completely ripped my vocal cords and was worse. Yeah, I spent between two and three weeks trying to get my voice back. That was way worse than the food poisoning to me, because the food poisoning went away in like 24 hours.
I can't believe I would never know, Josh, that you ripped your vocal cords. I mean, your voice is nails on the chalkboard to me every week, but I'd never know. I'd honestly never know.
Yeah, I just went and hid for a little while out in the woods.
What's your second question for me?
Well, my second question is, I'm not so sure the Lonzo Rule doesn't need to be stretched, because someone out there is just going to bet a 5-touchdown underdog every week until they hit once during the season. So I think you should divide the total amount of points the underdog is by 2, and that's how much you get subtracted. Because I've been screwed by the league office already, so I think everyone else should be screwed by their own bad picks eventually.
Listen to this. I mean, Lonzo wanted a very harsh penalty as well. I think you might be onto something there.
Yeah, see, there you go. I'm down with that. If I just happen to be that guy who does what Josh was saying, I should pay even more for trying to pick the outrageous game, hoping to just jettison right into first place. Make it that. I don't care.
There you go. There you go. All right, Josh. Alabama versus Tennessee is the game that I am most intrigued by this weekend. If this is a typical Alabama-Tennessee game, we have the verdict. The gavel is down, and we know that Tennessee has made no gains whatsoever on their previous reputation. Do they have a chance to cover? Do they have a chance to make this closer than the experts think against the vaunted Crimson Tide?
Yeah, the answer to the second part is yes, but I don't know if the first part, I don't know if this kind of game's where I draw a verdict. Like, I'm more likely to draw a verdict from last week. To me, independent of what happens to them tomorrow, if they get beat 41-0 tomorrow, that doesn't tell me nearly as much as last week told me, or the second half of the Georgia game told me. I think what's most intriguing, because I agree with you on that part, what I think is most intriguing is not only who do they start at quarterback, but like what direction do they go at quarterback? Because I've had big arguments this week with Tennessee fans, which, to be honest, I've been surprised by. I thought once they brought Harrison Bailey into that game last week, that signifies, okay, well, we're ready to put him in, like we are comfortable with him being in the game. Man, you're not salvaging anything in 2020, and your job's not on the line. Like, Jeremy Pruitt's not on a hot seat for 2020. I don't care what anyone says. Let's see what Harrison Bailey can do. And then I would get, well, you can't just throw him to the wolves. Man, listen, this is not Pee Wee football. He is a scholarship quarterback in the SEC, first off. Secondly, you've put him in games already. And thirdly, this is not exactly a vintage Alabama defense. So Josh Dobbs got his feet wet against Alabama. I don't see why in the world would hold back from Harrison Bailey, especially when it's very obvious there are no other viable options right now to me at quarterback on that roster.
You know, Josh, I've often thought about, and thankfully, as far as I know, have never come close to saying something on the air that would get me fired mid-show. Now, maybe Lonzo would dispute that, but I don't think I've ever come really close to saying something that would get me canned mid-show.
The dump button is your friend. That's all I'm saying.
That's absolutely right, and Lonzo uses it on this one liberally. But, Josh, you know, considering that Jeremy Pruitt fired one of his assistants in the middle of the game, how does that happen? I mean, that just seems beyond poor form. And I was just wondering if you have any insider backstory on that.
Yes. All right. Let me put my filter on now. So it was a poor hire. There are some procedural organizational aspects of the Tennessee program that are not great. It's not exactly a well-oiled machine. This is one of the prices you pay, and you got to accept it. This is one of the prices you pay when you hire someone for a major job. Tennessee is one of the 15 biggest jobs in America. You're hiring a guy who's never been a head coach. 10 years ago, Jeremy Pruitt was sitting on a bulldozer in the middle of MTV Two-A-Days we're coaching for Russ Probst at Hoover. So he has not been a head coach, only been a coordinator at the college level for a brief period relative to some other guys in this sport. He is a brilliant football mind. Brilliant. I second to none when it comes to that. But running an organization is something that's new to Jeremy Pruitt. So you're going to have hiccups. You're going to have stumbles. We've talked about this before, Mark. A generation ago, your first job would never be Tennessee. Smart's first job would never be Georgia. Ryan Day's first job would never be Ohio State. And Lincoln Riley's first job would never be Oklahoma. You'd have to cut your teeth somewhere in the MAC or out in the WAC or Mountain West, and you'd make those mistakes out of the bright spotlight. These days, that's not the way it is. The timetable has been expedited. And so shortly after he hired that defensive line coach, it was oil and water. They didn't really mix. It was a hastily made decision. They've been butting heads the entire season. Philosophically, things were not working out. And, you know, that's a guy who's got a lot of connections to the Kentucky coaching staff. So that's why the story leaked out from the Kentucky side of things. But, yeah, it surprised me the manner in which it went down, yes. But it did not surprise me that it happened.
Josh Pate at Late Kick Josh joining us for his weekly segment here on Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate. Greatly appreciate Josh allowing me to reschedule from Thursday to Friday. Josh, you know, it's interesting. When you think about where the Big Ten is, where the Big Ten is today and where they've been, oh, I don't know, in the last 5 or 10 years, I'm going to give them a compliment that I didn't think I would. We miss them. I don't feel that way about the Pac-12. I don't even feel like we really need the Pac-12. But we miss the Big Ten. I miss the Big Ten. And I can't wait to see the Big Ten. And frankly, I'm surprised to find myself saying that. Where do you come out on?
It's really funny, isn't it? I feel the same way. I felt myself develop this emotional attachment, which you try not to do professionally, but I felt this emotional attachment to the Big Ten when I saw what was happening and the, for lack of a better term, politicization of their season was going on up there. And so, you know, there were some people up there trying to fight for it, and I didn't even think they were doing it irresponsibly. If I felt it was irresponsible, I wouldn't have jumped on board. But, I mean, it was very commonsensical. It, you know, we're looking around the rest of the country, and they're getting things off the ground without much of a hitch. I think we can do it up here. So now we finally get to the season. Well, now we get to talk about Ohio State's defense and whether it's championship caliber. Now we get to talk about Jim Harbaugh's roster and the overall talent level eroding a little bit, but maybe Joe Milton at quarterback saves it and transforms the overall identity of that brand for years to come. We get to find out if PJ Fleck has year-over-year success. We get to find out if James Franklin can be the next program at Penn State that goes from the B tier to the A tier. Like, there's so much I'm looking forward to there.
I completely agree, and I think they've vaulted, they've dramatically increased the caliber of play. I think you could make an argument that they have the best coaching of any conference in college football, and I frankly can't wait to see them. I also, Josh, would be remiss if I didn't mention I was really kind of surprised at the massive Ohio State line. 26.5 points? Will they even score 26.5 points after such a long layoff?
Yeah, I think they will. That's not the part I would worry about. The part I would worry about, you know, the big concern up there is outside of linebacker, they got pretty significant question marks. I stopped short of saying worries, but question marks on the other two layers of that defense. Defensive line, a lot of greenness, talented but green, a lot of the same, even with Sean Wade returning in their secondary. And here's the concern, okay? If you're into gambling, I can assure you there are much better and more attractive lines out there than Buckeyes minus 26.5, because what happens in these sorts of games, Mark, they got Penn State on deck. Okay, everyone knows that. That's baked into the number. But what happens is if they get that score run up early, Nebraska's not going to stop throwing the ball. And if you see even a fraction of the struggle in that Ohio State secondary that you've seen, let's say, with Alabama so far this year, you could quickly have a game that's 45-7 late with two touchdowns tacked on, and all of a sudden it's a 48-21, 45-21 final. Ohio State couldn't care less, but you could, because you just were the victim of a backdoor cover at the hands of Scott Frost and Nebraska.
Josh Pate joining us. Josh, seriously improved play from the Gamecocks. You saw it. You called it last week over Auburn. But is what we're seeing a blip or a trend?
Okay. Well, that's the question, obviously. That was the question this time last year. That's the question this year. Remember the excitement up there, and remember the excitement everywhere when they went into Georgia and they won. And everybody remembers the circumstance, okay? It was a turnover fest, but they took advantage of it, and that's the point. And they won. And yet, that was an island. That was a blip. It was the definition of a blip. And elsewhere, it was just a bad season. So this year, it's Cocktober again. We work our way to the same point on the schedule, and they get the win at Vanderbilt. Then they get the big win over Auburn, upset fashion, and then, well, mild upset fashion. And now they get to go on the road, and I cannot stress enough to the listening audience there how much of a wreck LSU is behind the scenes right now. There is scandal on top of scandal on top of scandal. Not to mention, they're out a starting quarterback. Their defense has been a sieve. And here comes South Carolina. It almost feels like they're an afterthought, like, no one even knows who LSU is playing Saturday. They just know LSU is playing Saturday. So Will Muschamp gets to win a couple of games, and they kind of sneak on into Baton Rouge. Got a, you know, 15, 20,000 people max in the stands, so it's not the usual Saturday night Death Valley mystique. I think they're going to win the game straight up. I picked them to win the game straight up. So you give me the points, but I'll just take them to win straight up. I am teetering on making that my upset pick. The only reason I'm teetering is because I have a feeling someone on this show is going that way too, and I don't want to be a copycat.
There you go. So let's get that upset pick from you, Josh, because foreshadowing, Josh made a good hint there about what my upset pick of the week could very well be. Where are you going?
I'm going to an ice cold pick. I haven't heard anyone else on it all week. I think Missouri is going to beat Kentucky. So they're sitting at 5.5 right now. And I really feel like Missouri, I'm catching a double here. So it's a do up, do down. Love that spot. Missouri unexpectedly had a week off last week, and it came right as their offense had started to fire. So you gave one of the better offensive minds in the country a little extra time to prepare with finally the quarterback that should have been starting all year in Connor Bazelak. And then you couple that with the fact that Kentucky just got a program-defining win. It's a back-to-back road spot. They're in the most due-down spot they'll be in all year. And they're a 5.5-point favorite on the road. I will take Missouri to win outright as a 5.5-point underdog.
I'm just surprised you think they're close enough to Kentucky talent-wise to do that. I've said this week, Josh, one of the things I've learned about the SEC this year is that if you have a game, no matter who you are, in which you are beating yourself, Kentucky will beat you. And I don't care if your team name is Alabama. I learned that last week. I've been learning that about the Mark Stoops operation the last 2 years, I think.
Yes, but so we do a lot of data and trend analysis on this. Those are words that I barely know how to spell, but we do a lot of it. And you find that turnovers are not a predictable stat. Teams that are prone to being plus in the turnover margin, that can be predictable over a year-to-year stretch, but over a game-to-game stretch, you would think that it's not random, but it's still very randomized. So I asked myself, who's more likely to suffer from the turnover bug here? A team that's at home with an off week to prepare and started to hit their groove offensively, or a team that just benefited from a ton of turnovers the week before, going back out on the road again in an emotional letdown spot? I think actually we could end up seeing Kentucky be bitten by the very thing that's been their elixir so far this year.
Wow. Very, very interesting. Josh going with Missouri over Kentucky. And Josh, I'll tell you what, man, I am always fascinated with coaches' hot seat rankings, with the coaching carousel. The natives are restless in Austin, Texas right now. Can you give me a feel as to just how hot that seat is in Austin, Texas?
Extremely. And it's extremely hot. Yeah, not just in message board culture or talk show culture, because that's stuff that changes every week sometimes. It's hot because the right people have lit the fire. And there's, I don't know how familiar people are with the subculture out there, but there's a lot going on culturally beneath the scenes there too. There's, you know, their fight song and the Eyes of Texas whole deal. There were a lot of people who thought they acquiesced more than enough to a lot of the demands of the student athletes in the off season, and yet here we are, and people are refusing to stay on the field for the fight song, yada yada yada. So people, if it was 4-5-0, they know it wouldn't be a big deal. But because they're not 4-5-0, they view Tom Herman as having sort of lost control of the wheel. I don't totally disagree, and that's just if we're talking about the football side of things, Mark. If it's kind of like Florida, if not this year, when is Texas going to do it? I would even describe them like that more so than Florida this year. They've got all the experience at quarterback. They got the number 5 roster in America per our talent composite. I mean, Oklahoma came in there reeling. They barely had a foot to stand on and yet still figured out a way to beat them. So if my expectations were 8-4, I wouldn't mind. It's just another year. Oh, well, we'll get them next year. This is Texas, man. You don't accept anything less than contending for a championship. And I don't care how long the drought's been. You just keep swinging because Alabama sucked for a long time, too. They kept swinging and kept swinging. Then they found something called Nick Saban. How'd that turn out for them? So you just keep swinging. And you can have people tell you, oh, it's crazy to dream for Urban Meyer or whoever you want. You're Texas. So until it's proven otherwise, expect that you can get whatever you want.
What's coming up on Late Kick tonight, Josh?
Absolutely nothing, Mark, because it's Friday.
Oh, my God. Dude, can you ever imagine that I've been out of it this week? I bet that
he was ready for that. You could tell. He knew you were going to do that.
Good gosh, man. We're all creatures of habit, man. What did I miss on Late Kick last night, Josh?
Yeah, I had that pod already queued up, so that was just a recording. Now, this is me actually talking. We had a great night last night. Somehow I figured out a way to do previews and predictions for 8 football games tomorrow, and also did 3 season predictions for Ohio State, Penn State, and Michigan. I gave out 5 best bets, and again, I want to stress to the listening audience, I did all that in under 45 minutes. So I don't know what I deserve, but I think I deserve something.
I invite you to subscribe on YouTube to the Late Kick Show on YouTube, also to his podcast, which is available anywhere you can hear podcasts, Late Kick with Josh Pate. Appreciate it, pal. Thank you so very much. Have a wonderful weekend.
All right, guys, you too.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, O'Reilly!